Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to start.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
It is Indianapolis, and we come to you live from our Plush Balance Studios here in Indianapolis, Indiana, for the greatest race of NASCAR year. And I'm going to tell you what, nothing gets better than Indianapolis Motor Speedway, the Brickyard. It is the Crown Royal, Curtis Cheever. I'm going to get it right before the end of the show, guys. Brickyard 400, and it is the Brickyard weekend. And so glad that you guys could take time out of your show, your day, minions, to join us today, because it is race weekend, baby. Well, my name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. I am your one and only guide and God for the next 2 hours that will walk you through the Brickyard and everything that's going on with NASCAR. We've got a very, very exciting show for you today, minions. That's right. We've got the guys from Radio Speed Talk, all of them on throughout the entire two-hour period. The first hour, we got Mr. Cliff Tanner, and then after that, in the other corner, weighing in at Mountain Dew time, whatever, Mr. Kenny Barr. And we're going to be talking, we got a lot to talk about, obviously, AJ Allmendinger. We're going to talk about that whole situation. We're going to talk about all NASCAR. We're going to talk about what's going on here in Indianapolis this weekend, as well as with the out at Lucas Oil Raceway in Speed Week and what's going on there as well. And we're going to break down the race. We've got some great guests, local celebrity here in Indianapolis, and no stranger to the national media as well. And if you've been out the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, you've certainly heard her voice. Miss Laura Steele is going to be joining us at 9:45 Eastern, and then coming up here at 10:15. Eastern from the Indianapolis Star, Mr. Philip B. Wilson, the one and only self-proclaimed expert of everything that has to do out there at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. $2 Bill Josh is going to join us. And, of course, second hour, Mr. Pete LaFuscia of Radio Speed is going to be joining us as well. So we've got a jam-packed show for you guys. We're so excited that our minions could take time out of the Olympics to be with us today on race weekend. I tell you what, though, I have to admit, you know, Michelle, our social media director, was out in San Diego for a conference for the weekend. And I tell you, she was rushing through the gates and to get back, and so we said, well, we need to have a show meeting, so we went out to a local place here in Indianapolis, had some dinner, and they had the Olympic opening ceremonies on, and I tell you what, I have to admit, that was pretty entertaining. And I you know what, one of my favorite parts, and I laughed. I belly laughed. Well, you know, the whole thing where they picked up the Queen at Buckingham Palace and they flew her around, and then, you know, she did the James Bond move and dived out of the airplane, and then they brought her in there. That was great. I got to give that, guys. Go Team USA. Obviously, we're behind you 100%. All NASCAR fans love Team USA. God bless freaking America. We're at Three Pints Brewing there in Plainfield. Really check that out, guys. If you like microbrews like myself, huge microbrew fan. And they got a sampler thing that you can try out different beers there. And that's where Michelle and I had our meeting at last night. But, yeah, they had that on the TVs there. And I had to give my props out to the Olympic committee on putting that together. Well, guys, as much as I'd like to talk about the Olympics, go Team USA. God bless freaking America. I'm going to tell you what, it is race weekend here in Indianapolis. And I'm going to tell you what, we've got a bunch of racing to talk about, and we're going to do 2 hours of nothing but race talk here. So we need you to stand by. And guys, hey, feel free to join the conversation here. We're going to have open line Saturday right here on the Balance Radio Network. You're joining us coast to coast, guys. We'll be right back with the guys from Radio Speed Talk, and we're going to jump right into this conversation with AJ Allmendinger right after this when we get back.
Job with a little old man. I got 2 miles till he makes bill. And if I'm right, we're headed straight for him.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan. The Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. IndyProSports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pros.
Here we go again.
The best hits. Best hits.
More.
And the biggest variety.
Biggest variety.
I want it, I need it, and I'm going to have it.
There's no other station like it on the planet. WROM, realmsofmusic.com. Playing tomorrow's hottest artist today.
Fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
All right, give me a fuel, give me a fire. It does not a better racing song around than Metallica and starting out your Saturday morning on Metallica. My minions are all Metallica fans. Welcome back to The Balance, guys. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente, and this is our official NASCAR show for the Brickyard at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And joining us now is Mr. Cliff Tanner and Kenny Barr. How we doing, guys?
I'm doing great. I found a diet to do next door because I ran out of my private day, so I'm in good shape.
Hey, you know, we got the new ban list for the Balance is no Mountain Dew. Now, I couldn't do that. Fortunately for you, Kenny, Michelle is a huge Mountain Dew drinker as well, so it's not on the official ban list. You know, yesterday it was just a long day, and I actually had to dive into that 5-hour energy that has come highly recommended. It works for about 3 hours. I'm just going to say that. Well, guys, hey, you know, obviously that brings us to the next topic online, and we're privileged to have a great guest with us, Vicky Barr. Now, Vicky, I understand that you also are related to one of these yahoos on the line with us as well. Is that correct?
Yes, I am.
Well, I can only tell you that I am sorry. I am sorry for you. Well, thank you for joining us today. And the reason we brought you on, and I'm going to let Kenny, is this your daughter-in-law, correct?
So far.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry. Well, okay. Well, Kenny, I'm going to let you make the formal introduction here to our guests. And what we're going to be talking about here and what we want to do, and, you know, the last couple of weeks, guys, we've been talking about this whole thing with AJ Allmendinger and you know, the ban list. And, you know, I was out at the Grand Am promotion earlier this week. And you know, I don't really want to get into all the conversations that we had off the air. But, you know, certainly there was a rumor, and I did tweet the rumor, that this actually had something to do with a sexual stimulant by the name of Viagra, which didn't make sense to me because they were actually on a NASCAR car, so I couldn't imagine why that would be on the ban list. And then it was brought up, well, maybe if he was taking it illegally without a doctor's prescription. And then there was just a lot of other stuff that was going on. So, Vicki, we brought you in to clear the air, to clear the dust on some of this stuff. So, Kenny, I'm going to let you take the charge on this. And what I want to do is really just kind of get to the bottom of course, now we know that Amendinger is to participate in a recovery program, and we certainly want to get into the, I guess what we do have is the official statement of the drug that was found in his system. Obviously, I can't pronounce it, but Kenny, I'm going to let you take the lead on this conversation with your daughter-in-law, Vicki, here. And Vicki, we appreciate you joining us today and helping and shedding some light with us.
Sure, of course.
Gee, thanks, Tom, because I don't know the name of the drug either. All I know is it's an amphetamine of some sort. Spell it for me, because those things have more letters than the alphabet.
Well, according to Mr. Pete LaFuchsia, who cleared this up for me yesterday, it is something called amphetamines. Okay, I'm going to spell it, guys. Hey, us minions aren't used to it. We're used to talking about drugs, but not this kind, okay? It's like the grassy kind. But I'm kidding. ENFEDAMIES was what was in AJ's system. Does that ring a bell to you, Vicki? Can you make that out?
Just what was it? Is it
ENFEDAMIES? We talk about race cars. We can talk about torque and all this other and speed and the amount of speed and calculate. We can't even pronounce a name of a substance. But yes, that's the substance that was found. I guess it's some sort of amphetamine that was used.
Yeah, I mean, there's different derivatives of amphetamine. And that can be just one of them. Just spelling it out right now, it doesn't really ring the bell. Usually, methamphetamine is usually what I think of, or amphetamine. And then there is amphetamine. You said A is an apple, A-M?
Correct.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's amphetamine. It's another derivative of an amphetamine.
Well, Vic, if I was a race car driver, what's the advantage of me throwing down an amphetamine before a race?
Well, I mean, just like in any person, it's just major physical effect you're going to have. You're going to have hyperactivity. You're going to have wakefulness. They're considered performance enhancers. Mainly they're used recreationally, which is why I'm surprised. Like I've heard, use it in sports. You just have more energy. You're able to focus more on something.
I got some of that hyperactivity without taking any of that kind of goofy stuff. Is there a lot of crossover stuff like in cold medicines or weight loss tablets that guys can take that could maybe pop up in a drug test like that?
In general, there's lots of derivatives of amphetamine, but, the ones that are in cough syrup are usually such low concentrations, and they're not amphetamines. They're different. They're derivatives of it. So, no, you're not going to necessarily test positive from it unless you're taking it, a full entire bottle. Then you're going to test positive.
In my little bitty research, which was about 10 minutes compared to your 10 years, it looks to me like they used to call this speed. It helps release dopamine in your bloodstream. And don't cocaine and some other really nasty, ugly things also pop dopamine out of your brain?
Yeah, they're called psychostimulants. So, also know what that means is everything reacts in your brain. So it's messing around with dopamine, serotonin, norepinephrine, all these different transmitters that we have in our brain that we need to function normally. So it bumps around different concentrations of it, which creates all these other side effects. You can actually, get pupil dilation. You kind of look like you're stoned at times, and it messes around with everything.
Well, it looks to me like this could be a very dangerous. I could see now why, if this is exactly what he tested positive for, why it would be on the banned list. And it's something else I wanted to, maybe you could help us clear up, maybe you can. What they did is they tested positive with what they called sample A, okay? He tested positive for said drug. Then he challenged it, and they took a sample B from sample A. Where does it make sense that sample B would ever be different than sample A when they took it from the same sample?
The only thing I can think is they're like testing it to a sample that has no positive drug in it. It's the only thing that I can think of. When we test, the way I'm used to testing for amphetamines in someone's system is we just do a urine test, you know, and it just says if it's positive, it's positive. I'm not very familiar with things done outside necessarily of the hospital system.
Well, I can tell you a little bit about that, Tom, because I do some of the stuff here at the Shepherd's House.
Mm-hmm.
Or if we get somebody who tests hot for a certain drug, we have to take a sample out of that same urine sample and send it off to a lab, and they break it down much more finite detail, and they can get really into the brass tacks of what is in there and what's not in there. So I'm sure that they have ways to really get down into what it is and what it isn't, and that's what A.J. Allmendinger and his lawyer team were hoping to find out, that it was really one of the derivatives Vicky's talking about that might have been in a obviously it's not a Viagra tablet, but some sort of cold medicine that he may have taken and forgot it was on the bone list, or some of these weight loss pills, the Dexatrims and stuff, et cetera, that are in there, although Vic tells me that there's not enough amphetamine in these things really be picked up on. So we're going to be grasping at straws by the time this thing's all over with, and I'm much more enlightened now that Vicky was explaining some of that to me. But I do know that when we test somebody hot, we got to send out another sample, and it does take quite a while to get the answer back, even if we need it quickly. We got to wait our turn in line because there's lots wrong with the people out there that are getting stuff tested.
Oh, excuse me, guys. I had a frog in my throat right there. You never want that in live radio. It never happens, let me tell you. One of the things, I can see why that would be an issue. Now, so if you could just help our listeners understand, and I would obviously be one of those same people who would want to know the difference, perhaps maybe from something that you buy, you know, over the counter. You heard us joking about it in our opening dialogue about the 5-hour energy. Obviously, that's advertised. Hey, you could buy it over the counter. You could buy it right there by the gum section. Why is that any different than what we're talking about here with A.J. Allmendinger?
So from when you're talking about like the 5-hour energies, those mainly are, there's caffeine in them. That's going to be your number one ingredient. Also vitamins and minerals that are like the vitamin B, which are associated with are supposedly, with energy and everything. And mainly it's just you're getting a boost of energy from caffeine. So you can have a high from it, but then, you know, in a couple hours you're going to come down and you're going to be exhausted again. Whereas ephedrine or, you know, amphetamines or anything, I mean, these have, it's called a longer half-life. So they stay in the body a lot longer. And it's not so much, you're not really going to have, you'll come down from them, but it's going to be more gradual because it takes time for that drug to enter your body. Caffeine can leave your body very quickly. It's eliminated very quickly through your body. So you have a little bit longer half-life. So the duration of effect with the drug is definitely a lot longer.
Well, and you know, you look I just find this kind of, I won't even call it humorous because the whole situation isn't funny, but one of the sponsors for A.J. Allmendinger, or at least A.J. Allmendinger was a spokesman for, is a substance called, something like 5-hour energy called Fuel in a Bottle. And, obviously we're talking about A.J. Allmendinger, who's recently got suspended indefinitely at this point as he goes through some voluntary recovery periods. And we're talking with Vicky Barr. Now, Vicky, you're a pharmacist, correct?
Yes, I am.
And Vicky is taking time out of her Saturday morning to join us. And I guess it when you look at this and you look and you compare the two by two, because, you know, I think a lot of people like, hey, I use that 5-hour energy. Is that an issue for me? Am I going to get in trouble for work? So what you're saying is that this is caffeine. It's basically like drinking a bunch of coffee at one quick time. So they say that, hey, you know, there is no down effect. You're not going to get the shakes. I have to admit that I used it yesterday. It didn't do any of that. So I guess that you look at the pressure that NASCAR drivers are on, and A.J. Allmendinger just happens to be the one in the spotlight. We looked at Jeremy Mayfield a few years ago, but let's face it, in reality, what are you thinking? I don't need you to answer this because to specific answers that you may know personally, but what do you think the odds are that this is not an isolated incident, that this really goes on more in not only in our racing lives but our professional career than what people realize?
Oh, I mean, definitely. It's sold on the streets. You know, people that actually use drugs such as Adderall or Concerta, these are stimulant drugs for people that are diagnosed with ADHD or attention deficit disorder or have issues with just focusing. I mean, people sell them on the streets. It's, I mean, depending on the area that you live in, it's more common versus others. I mean, and it's definitely, I mean, once you take it once and you like the effect, you're definitely going to start buying it. I mean, in high schools, I wouldn't say it's very common in high schools, but it happens.
Cliff, I know you've been kind of quiet. Is there any questions that you have for Vicki regarding this?
Yeah, actually, it's kind of a two-part question here, and maybe you can tell us, maybe you can't. But, you know, so many times over the years, sports figures get busted with doing certain drugs, and they all say, well, I didn't know, my trainer did it. First of all, is it possible he could have taken something without knowing that he did it? And number two, how often do companies actually hide this stuff in some of their products?
You know, I don't know about, you know, the companies necessarily hiding it in their products. I mean, in general, stimulants like this, they are so highly regulated by the FDA. There's no way that anyone can hide this product, really, for the most part. The only thing I can think of is, you know, back in, well, I should say probably about, I want to say 5-10 years ago, the drug Ephedra was on the market, and this was used for a weight loss drug. Well, that led to a lot of increased heart rate, deaths, heart attacks, stuff like that. So it does kind of the same effect. It, like, hypes you up and, you know, but makes you really kind of nervous and, you know, just on edge more so than what an amphetamine derivative necessarily does. So, I mean, there's different derivatives of this ephedra drug for in over-the-counter. So they have different names and, you know, name things from, like, China and, you know, overseas. So there's ways to not really hide it. I mean, it's still in there, but it's over-the-counter stuff is not regulated by the FDA as strongly as prescription drugs. So, you know, I mean, in short, there's no way that they can actually hide something, a derivative Adderall or Concerta in any other drug without the FDA knowing, and it wouldn't be coming in the States. Now, if they got something overseas, that's something completely different.
Now, my question to you, go ahead, guys. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, so the driver pretty much knows what he is or isn't taking. Nobody can really sneak it in, I guess. I mean, can you explain that a little bit? If you can't, I understand that as well.
No, I mean, if you're popping a pill for Adderall, you're popping a pill for Adderall. Like, that's it. There's no combination products with amphetamines. That's it. They're heavily regulated. You need prescriptions. You could only get X amount in a month. You have, you know, the doctor, every prescription is tied to a doctor, so the state finds out how much the doctor's prescribing. I mean, it's so heavily regulated that, no, there's no way that this person taking it wouldn't think, like, oh, is there any stimulant in here? Like, no, that's it. This is it.
Now, the infamous sample B test is becoming kind of like the Kennedy conspiracy shooting, that the sample B, you know, test was. So to clear this up, and we're talking with Vicki Barr, which is a pharmacist who's taking time out of her Saturday to really – what we're talking about, guys, and our minions who may have just joined us is what we're talking about is we're linking this to A.J. Allmendinger, and obviously who was just suspended by NASCAR for failing a random drug test out of Kentucky. And the sample B was tested Tuesday at Aegis Science Corporation in Nashville, Tennessee, which is administrates the NASCAR's drug testing program. And Allmendinger had a toxicologist of his own present for the test. After the second half of the sample proved positive, NASCAR sent Allmendinger a letter outlining the path to reinstatement under the Road to Recovery program, a process that can include counseling, rehabilitation, and so forth. Now, what we're hearing from the Allmendinger's camp and their PR people, which I understand they're paid a lot of money to make their guy look the best in the light of us. So it's not my job to say it's either true or not true. What I'm asking you is the best expert advice that you can give us, Vicki, is this, okay? Allmendinger's PR people are telling us, hey, it's nothing more than an over-counter substance that it was on a list that apparently we did not know about. Two parts to that question. Do you buy that a banned substance would be part of an over-counter product? That's what brought up the fuel in the bottle. I wonder if, since he's a sponsor, you want to make that connection that that's what he was using without them actually using their sponsor's name. I'll use it. I'm thinking that if that's what they're trying to say, he was using fuel in the bottle. And I guess that's how that all ties in together. What do you believe the fact that was an over-counter product, especially when he had his own toxicologist there to say, hey, that witnessed the testing of this. So obviously his own people are saying, yeah, this tested positive for a banned substance. I'm not buying that this was an over-counter over-the-counter product, and I'm not buying that they didn't know that it was on the banned list. Can you walk us through some of that technical stuff that I just talked about?
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to over-the-counter, there are such little amounts, if there is any derivative in any over-the-counter stuff, of amphetamines, that's pretty much not even detectable. You'd have to, let's say, for example, someone was taking some NyQuil, with the cough suppressant in there. I mean, you have to drink the entire bottle or half the bottle to even get, like, a high effect from that dextromethorphan, which is what the component that's in there. I mean, you have to be taking so much of it to test positive, and that way he's going to be high. He's going to have some sort of effect from it. So there's no way that some one pill of something over-the-counter is necessarily going to test positive for methamphetamine. Now, if there is a drug out there, then I apologize. I am not as versatile on all my over-the-counter agents that do necessarily then test positive for amphetamines. But, again, you'd have to have significant amounts to really test positive for it. And anything, like I said, prescription-wise, I mean, one tablet, I mean, there's such high concentrations in, like, these Adderalls that, yes, of course you're going to test positive from it, but it's specifically used for a certain condition. So does that answer the question?
Oh, it does for me perfectly. And, Vicki, I want to tell you how much I appreciate you taking time out of your day. And Kenny, I want to thank you for helping us out with this guest. And I hope it clears up a lot of stuff for our listeners. I do want to make sure that Kenny and Cliff, you guys, if you got any additional questions for Vicki before we let her go. And I guess another thing that I would ask from you, Vicki, as a professional. We have a lot of listeners across the United States to listen. We've had them on our show. A lot of young race car drivers who, they strive to be the AJ Allmendingers, the Dale Earnhardts, the Jeremy Mayfield. Dale Earnhardt is not in the conversation of banned substance. I'm just using him as a name, as a celebrity idol that a lot of young drivers emulate. When looking at this situation, how do they say, okay, how do they stay away from stuff like that? What advice would you give to young drivers or young athletes that might be tempted to use such substances to enhance their performance?
I mean, honestly, just don't do it. There's always side effects to drugs. I mean, there's death, there's heart problems. I mean, if you don't have a legitimate chemical dysfunction in your brain, don't do it, because it's going to mess. Everything's going, your brain's perfectly fine right now. Otherwise, you're going to lead to issues down the road. There's always side effects with use of this. You might not see it initially, but, the fun, the quote-unquote fun that everyone calls with, it's just not worth it. You're going to have issues either in school. You'll have issues, just in social life. I mean, it's not worth it, and it's not worth the risk of dying.
All right. Kenny, Cliff, any final things for Vicki before we let her go?
No, I appreciate their joining us, man. That definitely gave me a lot more information I didn't realize.
Sure.
Yeah, I got one quick thing, Vic. Do me a favor, will you?
Uh-huh.
Tell your husband of mother.
What'd you say? I'm sorry?
Tell that husband of yours to call his mother.
Well, you know what? Guess what he's doing right now.
Oh, he's calling
on national radio. Call your mom. Call your mom. That's fantastic. Well, Vicki Barr joining us, pharmacist who's helping us shed some light on the whole AJ Allmendinger suspension. Vicki, you're welcome on the show anytime, but we appreciate you stopping by today.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you. Vicki Barr, what a great insight. And Kenny, I got to give you props, man. I tell you what, you did good.
I'll send it all up.
Okay. Well, you said we'll give you credit, son. He needs to call his mom. Well, guys, hey, we're going to be right back, and we got a jam-packed show coming up. Obviously, Laura Steele coming up here in just a few minutes to talk some fun stuff. Indianapolis Motor Speedway, guys, it is race weekend. Right now, practice is going on at the track right now. Fastest speed right now, Casey Kane, 185.326. Difference between the slowest driver of 10.518 miles, guys. I tell you what, you do not want to miss this show. It is the fastest 2 hours in radio. You guys are the fastest radio. We're the hour. We're the fastest 2 hours in radio. We'll be right back.
They're playing peekaboo. Every morning I get up before that rooster crows.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. IndyProSports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire. Ooh.
All right, my minions, welcome back to the Balance Radio Network, coast to coast. It is the Brickyard. It is the Brickyard weekend, and I'm going to tell you what. We were just talking with a great guest, thanks to Kenny Barr's son for helping us out with that and getting Vicky Barr, pharmacist, who really helped us understand, you know what's going on with this whole thing with A.J. Allmendinger and the technical side of it, and I hope that we were able to share some light on that for you. Obviously, guys, though, it is race weekend here in Indianapolis. NASCAR, Crown Royal, Curtis – is it Cheever? Is that how you say it?
Shaver.
Curtis Shaver. Name Your Hero was the hero that was named by Crown Royal. I want to give my hats off to Crown Royal. That is a fantastic thing that they do, and it's not the first time that they've done that, to have the contest and then just to have all the naming rights. You know, when I first heard that, I thought, man, this is going to be kind of weird, kind of bizarre. How are they going to handle it? But it's all came together very, very, very well. Well, guys, it's race weekend. In about 15 minutes, we're going to be joined by Laura Steele to be talking about some of the things that are going out on an IMS this weekend. Obviously, they got the burn ban, no grilling out there. So, guys, let's dive into this conversation. Who wants to be the first one to talk about Danica, the Nationwide Series in Indianapolis? Obviously, we find out this week. Guess what, guys? She's going to be driving in the Indianapolis 500 next year.
Has that been confirmed? Well, I heard it was still about being bounced around.
Oh, I thought it had been confirmed. See, way to call me out there. I'll tell you what.
Because the next question was, who's she going to drive for?
I got a drop button here somewhere. I see how that thing works. I didn't want to touch it out.
Go ahead.
No, I, just wanted to kind of go round table here, and let's talk about everything. Obviously, there's a lot going on this weekend out at IMS, NASCAR, Brickyard, obviously one of the favorites. And one of the things I want to talk about, and it baffles my mind, obviously I live here in Indianapolis, and IMS is my backyard. And, you know, what a proud guy I am to say that that's my home track. But at the same time, I guess that it's not as fan popular as it once was, the Brickyard was, and obviously still one of the most favorite shows and races that that NASCAR's drivers have all year long is the Brickyard out at IMS. And why do you think fans, as opposed to IndyCar, obviously that's not an issue, but what they're seeing with the NASCAR, fans have kind of like slacked off. You think it's the economy? You think it's a different type of race fan? What are you guys thinking about that? And I personally think the Brickyard is one of the best races in their schedule all year long.
Well, I could tell you, you know, probably the biggest thing of why it went down was the heat race, you know, the 20-lap heat races they had a few years back. I mean, that really turned a lot of people off. But I think a lot of it is, I think the Brickyard and IMS and even NASCAR were pushing for that to be, you know, as good, if not bigger, than Daytona. And, you know, the racing is a different style of racing than what you're going to see in the IndyCar. But I think a big part of it is they try to make it bigger than it really was. And let's be quite honest. Sometimes, you know, there has been some pretty boring races there.
Well, I don't know about boring, but, yes, there has been some uneventful.
Right, from fan standpoint, I'm talking about. I'm not talking about me. I mean, all racing is good as far as I'm concerned. But from a fan standpoint, it just doesn't have the luster that what the IndyCar has there in Indianapolis.
Kenny, what are your thoughts?
Well, I agree with Cliff. And then another point that comes to mind is they don't promote it the same way or as hard or as well as the Indy 500. They also, they start promoting Indy, what, almost 2 months in advance? When they start doing the in-state stuff with their back home again in Indy 500 contests that they have, and the commercials start hitting the airwaves, you know, around the state. You know, we're an hour and a half north of them. We start seeing things in April for a race at the end of May. So I think the promotional aspects of how they actually sell tickets has a lot to do with that also. I mean, I start seeing NASCAR advertising and flyers and stuff about 2 weeks in advance. I think NASCAR, being the 800-pound gorilla that it is, thinks that they're going to – all they have to do is come to town and they're going to sell a joint out or do pretty well. The place holds, what, 250,000 permanent seats, and if you stick 140,000 in there, some people call that a failure, and I go, that's still a lot of tickets and a lot of people. I don't know if you could really call that a failure or not, but – they used to sell a lot more tickets than they do now. And Cliff's right, that 20-lap heat race, I think, really kicked that race in the butt for quite a long time. And they're going to have some drama and a lot better promotion to get her filled up like they did when the whole thing started down there.
Right. And you know what? I guess that's a perfect, perfectly good segue into the next question that I have. Obviously, the Nationwide drivers are making their inaugural appearance out at IMS, being taken away from Lucas Oil. We had Scott Smith on the air with us last week, and they certainly are disappointed. Made a great bounce back, and they've got the Speedfest, and ARCA's got a lot going on. So let's talk about that transition, and certainly we can pick this up here after Laura Steele calls if we run out of time. But let's talk about that transition from Lucas Oil to IMS. I think NASCAR drivers like it. I think a lot of them like the history and the tradition behind Lucas Oil, or the old ORP, as some people might call it. But it's not there anymore. So no sense in crying about it anymore. They're out there at IMS. And I think as a race fan, you've got plenty of races to go to between the Speedfest out at Lucas Oil Raceway and IMS. And none of the races interfere with each other, per se. So you really got to say, in fact, that's what we're going to do. We're going to head out to IMS you know, today and do the Busch race a little bit and then, you know, head on over to Lucas Oil Raceway. So you could do both. I mean, yeah, it's a plateful if you do both, but you can do it. So I don't know that the fans will be really that greatly disappointed in the aspect of the show that's going to be going on. So Kenny, we'll kind of talk with you about this as far as car preparation. Obviously, you've got a much different track, much larger track, as opposed to what you had over there at ORP. So, Kenny, technical question, how does a team prepare different for IMS than what they did for Lucas Oil Raceway?
Well, there's a couple different ways you go about it. If you're affiliated with a Cup team, you're stealing every note and every bit of advice you can get from them, because the chassis are just different enough where you're going to have to go back 2, 3, 4 years to get the old chassis notes for your nationwide car. And if you're a not affiliated team, you're either looking for friends, begging for advice, or just starting from a baseline that you think is going to work well and practice a lot. Anytime you go to a new track, golly, they're trying to, just like anybody, they're going to try and get as much information as they possibly can for weight balances and wedge setups and what gear to run. Well, everybody's got to run the same gear. Forgot about that dumb rule that they have now. And a lot of it's trial and error, because every driver is different. Every driver is going to go into the corner a little bit different, where they go in a little bit harder, a little bit softer. The angle of entry is going to be different. So it's not like you can just NASCAR can say, okay, boys, here's the baseline where you start, and everybody just go from there. Every car is going to be set up a little bit different. If you could scale out all 43 cars or however many is in that nationwide race, you'd be amazed at how many different setups are in there. And I get a kick out of these guys that say, well, we stole the setup from Casey Kane's car, and it didn't work for us. Well, Casey Kane ain't driving that car. You got to have your driver smart enough to communicate what he wants to go fast.
All right. Well, obviously, you know, they're going to be out there at IMS, and I personally, you know, I'm like Cliff. I like racing no matter really where it's located at. That's a marketing thing. I understand that, and I think fans won't be disappointed that much. I know there's a pocket full of rebels that say, "Hey, I am not going. I'm boycotting the nationwide race this year." And obviously, you know, for the bang for your buck, you buy one ticket, you're able to get to the Grand Am races, which they had last night. We could certainly talk about that here a little bit later on. You've got the nationwide race, and of course, you got the big boy race on Sunday. So, I mean, even if you want to boycott the nationwide race, you know, head on over to Lucas Oil Raceway, because they got a lot going on over there. And Cliff, I'll pick your brain on that for a little bit, because I know you're very familiar with that track and what they've got going on. Obviously, the Speed Fest, the ARCA, the Silver Crown Series, all that stuff is going on over there at Lucas Oil. So if they choose to make that decision, and of course they can as a race fan, that's what's great about being a race fan, especially here in Indianapolis. You don't want like one race, you can go to another one, and that gives you that opportunity this weekend. So what are your thoughts, Cliff?
Well, I mean, you're right. I mean, Lucas Oil, no matter what you do, always puts out a great show. You know what I mean? They started out last night. I mean, they had record, I don't want to say record, but you know, Frank Kimmel wins his 75th race. He's four down from, you know, from the top on there, and he's won 9 championships. But they always put out a good one. But, you know, I'm one of those that was kind of skeptical that, you know, with the nationwide moving over there to Indy. But I got to say, I'm kind of looking forward to that. You know, you talked about earlier when we said uneventful racing. If you want to see some eventful racing, you need to go over there and watch the first nationwide race. I will say that much, because they're, you know, a lot of those guys have never been on that track before, so there's going to be a lot of scraping maybe going on, a lot of spin-outs and things like that. I mean, you got 7 Cup drivers are looking to be the first winner in the nationwide series down there. So, but yeah, Lucas Oil always puts out, I mean, watching the sprints and the USAC, I mean, you can't go wrong. You know what I mean?
Well, I absolutely agree. You know, I think that, you know, and here's the other thing. Think about it as a race fan, guys. If you are a part of the first race, that's equivalent, if you're a baseball fan, to being at the first night game at Wrigley Field. I mean, you're at the very first race at Nationwide Race which is pretty huge. I mean, even if you do begin to look at the Nationwide really isn't a developmental league. It's just another excuse. You know, it is what it is. NASCAR has their rules, and, you know, we can debate that all day long. But obviously, it's the sport's number two series, and really has a lot of popular drivers. And I like looking at the young drivers that are coming out of the Nationwide Series, and even your more experienced drivers. Obviously, when we do that, we mentioned Danica Patrick, which, you know, is a favorite on this show. We love to talk about Danica. Everybody loves to talk about Danica. But Danica's one of those fans, you either love her or you hate her. And, you know, the thing about it is for those people that like pretty girls and like to look at the pretty girls and the marketing aspects of it, she's nailed a home run. For race fans that like to see a good race car driver, she's still nailed a home run. But for race fans that like to see their fans win, their driver win, not so much. And you think she's ever going to make it up to the big boys, guys?
Well, I think she's got an opportunity to make it up to the big boys. The problem is, you know, and Kenny, I think, might agree with me a little bit because we've talked about this a little bit off the air, but she's still trying to gain respect from the boys that have been around for a long time, whether it be in the Nationwide Series or whether it be, in the sprint area of it. But, you know, she's going to have to take her bumps and get used to it. I know she's gotten mad, but it seems like every time she has a mishap lately, she's calmed down quite a bit, and that has a lot to do with it. But she's got to get the respect from people, you know, so she can get help, say, like at Daytona and places like that, when you talk about drafting partners and things like that. So she's going to have to go through that. And I think year or two, I think she might be able to make it in a sprint. Is she going to be a huge success and win a championship? I mean, that remains to be seen.
Yeah, you're right, exactly right, Cliff. And the other thing is, she's going to be in the big show, simply because somebody's stroking a big check. You know, unfortunately, it's about money. Look, Paul Menard got in the big show because Dad's got a lot of money. Tom Marquise got in the big show because Tom's got a lot of money. You know, it's just that's part of the whole program. You got to show up with millions of dollars to get into things.
Well, and you know what, talking about pretty girls and millions of dollars, we're standing by. We're trying to get her on the line right now. Laura Steele, local celebrity here in Indianapolis, obviously been on the Bob and Tom Show, and no stranger to the IMS world. And I had an opportunity to talk with her out at the Grand Am promotion the other day, and we're getting her on the line here in just a moment here. But she's just a fantastic person to have, and we'll have her on here in just a moment. Oops, I accidentally dialed her number. That's not really what I meant to do. But go ahead, Kenny Cliff. Let's talk while we're getting her on. I think we do have Laura on the line now. Is Laura? Are you with us?
I am with you. Hi guys.
Hi.
Good
So glad that you could join us, myself and Kenny Barr and Cliff Tanner from Radio Speed Talk. Obviously, thank you for joining our national radio show on Saturday morning. It's early for a girl like you, but we were just talking about the racing queens and divas, obviously referring to Danica Patrick, but you certainly fit
in. I heard that. Well, I heard that, and I was listening in, and I heard you say you either love her or you hate her. I'm like, are they talking about me already? I haven't even been on the show yet. I'm like, oh, no, they're talking about hate already. And that is so true with Danica, though. You either love her or you hate her, and I'm a woman, so I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there. And I've interviewed her several times, and she's always been kind and gracious to me, so I'm going to go on the love side of things, but I'm a lover, not a hater. That's it. You know, we're going to see how things go with Danica, huh?
That's right. Well, we're joined now by Laura Steele. Obviously, if you live here in the Indianapolis market, Laura Steele is no stranger to you. Obviously, from Q95 and her job out at IMS. And we were just talking about IMS and what a fun track that is. And obviously, the Nationwide having its inaugural season there and how huge that is. But from a fan's perspective, and I know that's where you spend a lot of time at, with the fans and really understanding what the fans are about, what are the fans saying and what you think and what your input so far about Nationwide coming over from Lucas to IMS?
Well, I think that in the beginning, I think maybe some people were upset because they enjoyed going out to Lucas, you know, to the raceway there, and they enjoyed that. But I think that turning it into a big, you know, weekend party, if you will, and even with the Grand Am, how about that race yesterday? I mean, the race yesterday was amazing. And just I think that if there was anything that I heard from race fans, it was just maybe the disappointment that they've been going out to Lucas for, you know, so many years, IRP, formerly IRP. I can't get the IRP out of my mind. I don't even know if anybody really called it IRP for short, but I did. But I love the Lucas family, so I got to give them their love as well. So I think that that might have been it, because I think that that was just kind of it always did very well. But I understand the Speedway trying to turn this into a big weekend of, you know, multiple races, and some people may say that it's taking a little bit of the, you know, the charm out of the one race for the weekend with the big boys running tomorrow. But, you know, I think any time that there is something going on at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, you should go. I mean, I'm not saying that because I'm employed by them. Still to this day, I'm going on my 10th year working out there, and I do a lot with the fans, sometimes talk to the drivers, but it is such a great place. I still pull in there, and I will. I'm en route, by the way, so getting ready to get on I-465, trying to go the speed limit so we don't have a police officer on this interview as well. But, yes, I'm talking to the Balance police officer. I know you know who they are. They're great guys. But I just feel that every time I, and maybe it's because I've worked there, but I feel a lot of people and fans feel that way. You go into that, you know, under the tunnel, and you just see this amazing hallowed ground, and you go, this is the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So I get moving it over there, and I think it's obviously something that'll, you know, it'll pick up some speed, no pun intended. Do we know? I don't know how ticket sales are for today. I'll know soon enough when I get out there and look at the people, but do we know?
Well, I know that they've got some tickets available, but I think that they've sold a lot of tickets. I think we're going to have a good crowd there today, a fantastic crowd out there at IMS today. One of the things I want to talk with you about, Laura, also, is this – obviously, it's across the United States, but here in the local market here, we have been experiencing the biggest drought ever. I mean, I was walking across my lawn the other day, and it literally felt like fall. I could hear the leaves crunching, but it wasn't leaves. It was my grass, because you can't water. We did get some rain yesterday. Obviously, that pushed back the Grand Am race a little bit, but they've instituted a burn ban. We've got a lot of fans that are in town for the race. Define burn ban, because, you know, I'm one of those fans that like to pack up my grill in the back of my truck, go through the tunnel, turn three early in the morning on Sunday morning, set up camp, and start cooking. They can't have charcoal grills, but they can have gas grills.
No charcoal grill. Yeah, I'm not really sure what all – I know they have it on the Indianapolis Motor Speedway .com site, and I know that Doug Bowles was chatting about it the other day and saying that, you know, clearly right now anybody needs to be careful with anything. Don't flick a cigarette if you're a smoker out the window. Obviously, that's just not a good idea. The dynamics of what the ban is all about, and I'm afraid I'm going to lose you guys because right at this spot at I-465, you call me right back. You know, the wonderful modern technology.
Yes.
If I lose you, it seems like my phone always goes out when I'm on my way to IMS at this particular point, so hopefully we'll hang in there together. But if I happen to go away, you know, call me right back. But I know
that,
yeah, they have the info on the Speedway site. I'd hate to give the rules and then have somebody say, Laura Steele said it was fine that I did this. So I want to be sure I'm not giving out any news that I or info that I'm not real clear on. But I do think that there was a fire out there yesterday, wasn't there?
Yeah, an RV caught on fire. Fortunately, nobody was hurt. It was behind the thing, and I guess there was just a big pillow of black smoke, and it caught the attention of the national media, and it was on the ESPN highlights and stuff there for a while, so it got some national attention. I don't think that's exactly what they were looking for. Well, also joining us is Kenny and Cliff from Radio Speed Talk. Obviously, they got their own show that they join us every Saturday morning, but they're joining us for the full 2 hours today just to talk racing. So, guys, do you have anything for the IMS diva Laura Steele?
Yeah, I got one, man. You know, something that we've heard rarely talked about, and I just want to throw this out and see what her thoughts on it. But we actually now, for the first time, have seven drivers that can actually win both races. Of those seven drivers, who do you think would be the favorite to do a sweep this week?
The double, the nationwide race, and tomorrow as well.
Yes.
Wow, that's a good question. You know, I'm so bad at picking, and I generally don't. Give me those seven drivers. Jeff, who we got in there today and tomorrow? Go ahead and give me those seven drivers. And by the way, when I get out to the track, you know, I'm such a quick study when I get out there. I learn so fast. And I am at this spot if I lose you. Tell me your seven drivers, the seven drivers. I'm making my pick. I will make my pick for the double for both races.
Well, you got the two Bush brothers, obviously.
Yes, and I'm not picking them.
Casey Kane was running both of them. I can't remember the other three now. I just went blank.
Well, that's okay, because then that makes us in the same boat where I was trying to think of them as well and make a pick for you.
I think Elliot Sadler's running both.
I love Elliot Sadler just for his – I just love listening to him. I love his accent. But I don't think that he's going to be the one. I don't think it's going to be Elliot. I'm going to go. You know what? How about me going back on what I said? I'm going to go with Kurt on Kurt Busch. I'll go with Kurt.
There you go. Hey, and Laura, I wanted to let you know my producer Michelle was she's great at behind the scenes stuff, but she just sent me this. She says the following ignition sources, and this she got off the website, will not be permitted at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway property during the Kroger Speed Weekend. Comfort fires or campfires, you can't have that. The ground or in elevated devices, charcoal or any non-gas grills of any kind, or fireworks or grenade launchers. You're not allowed to have any of that.
And I did see, remember, with the snake, they set a mattress on fire in the month of May. Or somebody set a couch or mattress, whatever, who knows, same thing if you're that tired, who knows what it was, but something, a futon, who knows what got caught on fire in the month of May, but, and I just want to tell you guys right now, they have, on I-465, now this is going back eastbound, obviously I'm heading west, three police officers just literally like waving people over if they're speeding, so that's my little tip for today, anybody going eastbound, I'm sure that they're going to get it going west as well. So I don't want anybody to get, you know, you're not in the race, people. Slow down, right?
That's, well, I don't know, 465, and I drive it every day. And you would think that is IMS out there on 465. And Kenny and Pete, they call us from Fort Wayne, obviously have their own national show. And I know that we're about out of time with you, Laura. We really appreciate you taking time to join us today. I mean, really, where can people find you at? I mean, Twitter, Facebook, all the social media, local bars. Where can people find you?
Well, today, if anybody's going out to IMS, I'm pretty much out there, again, with the fans. So if anybody's heard the show, come on up and say hi. Love to say hi to you guys as well. I know you're making your way out there. So out of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway today and tomorrow on Twitter, @RealLauraSteele, because there is a share impersonator, and her name is Laura Steele. So I had to be @RealLauraSteele. Just Google it. It's true. True story. There's a share impersonator named Laura Steele. Then I have a Facebook fan page. I'd love for people to check me out there as well. And again, you know, I think anybody, if there's something going on out at IMS, and same story for Lucas, they still, you know, had action out there. You know, support and embrace racing. This is the racing capital, you know. It's Indianapolis, and we've got this gem and gems in our backyard. And, you know, we'd love to see you out there. I love being a representative, especially for the fans. I wish I were a little bit, I'll get a little bit more well-versed on what's going on when I'm out there. I do stay really plugged into what's going on with the teams and the drivers. But I'll tell you what, guys, I've been so busy because I'm doing radio shows here, there, and everywhere. So I'm on in Dallas, San Antonio, Cincinnati, Ohio. So I'm on pretty much everywhere daily in 24 cities for a national show. So, but man, I got to get out there and say hi to my guys. I did the Jeff Gordon bowling tournament the other night. That was awesome. And I saw you as well out on the town with the gents from the Grand Am series. So, you know, say hi. Come say hi at the track. That's where I'll be. And thanks for having me on. I'm really great. I'm really grateful for that.
I appreciate it, Laura. You know, you're a good sport, and we appreciate it. And obviously, I'll see you out at the track, and I'll say hi to you. When I see you out on the town, I'll make sure
at
that you have an adult beverage on me.
Nice. Wait, who are your picks? You asked me mine. Who are you? Are you already gone there?
for the Nationwide Series or for the other? We did our official pick.
No, okay, you do that later. I'll find out because I put you guys on my Facebook page.
You
and
know
I'll,
what?
I'll look back.
I'm gonna be the only guy to go out there and say this. I think that Danica's very familiar with this track. She's raced there many, many times. She knows what it takes to do well at this track. I think Danica could get her first win in a Nationwide race at Indianapolis.
How huge would that be?
That would be huge.
That would be huge. And what about tomorrow?
I haven't quite got my pick nailed down for tomorrow yet.
See,
I'm still doing
you guys put me on the spot. Now I'm putting you back on the spot.
Well, we have this whole thing that we tease our minions and stuff. We got teasers and all this stuff that we do our picks, you know, later on in the show. You're more than welcome to call back later on in the show. We do the official picks, you know.
Oh, I thought maybe that was at the tail end of the show then. So don't be doing it yet then. You guys wait for the three. You got another hour of the show left. I'm going to let you think it through. And I love Mark Martin. I'm just throwing that out there. Have a great day, guys. Happy racing.
Thanks. Laura Steele, I tell you what, she's a real sport. We enjoy having her on anytime we can grab her, and when I mean grab her, I don't mean that. When you talk about a female, I gotta like somehow feel like, you know, because I work in the corporate world, I gotta justify. I don't literally grab her. You know, my producer's probably not gonna like my pick for the Nationwide, but it makes sense. I think it does make a good sense. And Laura Steele there, and obviously guys, she's a fun person. Saw her out at the Grand Am promotion out at Champs up in Carmel, and you know, just had a good time, and it's good hanging out with the drivers and the fans and the adult beverages, of course, and you know, just whenever you can get out there and just have a good time and just relax and not have to worry about work and just, you know, just kind of enjoy hanging out and meeting, you know, some of the different drivers and stuff. It's fun. Well, guys, I know that it's come to the end of the hour with you guys. You guys are more than welcome to hang out. Pete LaFuchsia is going to be joining us here coming up. And at 10:15, Philip B. Wilson of the Indianapolis Star going to talk about the big boy race, of course, the Nationwide race. And you guys are more than welcome to hang out because we're going to obviously make our official picks and stuff. Are you guys wanting to stay or go?
Got to go.
All right, well, go ahead and give us your official pick so that we've got it on the record.
Brad Keselowski is going to win the Nationwide race just because I like the second-generation drivers. He gets things figured out pretty well. And I'm going to pick Tony Stewart for the big show tomorrow just because he's going to win.
He's going to win.
That's not fair, man. That's kind of funny and scary because I was going to pick the same two drivers, but I'm going to switch it in the Cup. I'm saying Dale Earnhardt Jr. becomes the first father-son combo to win at Indianapolis.
That would be huge, especially off of his huge win off of Michigan. Of course, we were up there for that race as well. Well, I know Pete LaFuchsia's on deck. He's standing by waiting to join us. Guys, we appreciate you taking time to join us for the first hour. Guys, we'll be back for hour number two. Thanks to Laura Steele for joining us here in hour number one. Pete LaFuchsia's up next. Thanks, Kenny and Cliff. Guys, great race weekend. If I see you out at the track, I'll see you there. If not, great. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, man. You too, buddy.
All right. All right, guys. We'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network. My name's Tom Mark with El Presidente. We still got another hour left on our special NASCAR special Brickyard Weekend right here in Indianapolis, Indiana.
This party's got it going on. You got to get on the dance floor. That's right, come on.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley, Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. IndyProSports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports. is Welcome Back to the Balance Radio Network. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente Minions. I tell you what, you have joined us for the best 2 hours in radio, the Brickyard, the Curtis Shaver, Crown Royal Curtis Shaver 400 going on at IMS on Sunday, the inaugural race for Nationwide going on at IMS, obviously the Grand Am race last night. We got a big Speedway week happening out at Lucas Oil. And even it's even better, guys. We just had Laura Steele on. Local celebrity here, obviously, has a lot of national attention, too. But, you know, good friend of the show. I've known her for a long time. Great, great guest to have on. Diva of the track, Miss Laura Steele. And, of course, Kenny and Cliff joining us. But now, I'll tell you what, Mr. Tornado Pete. Pete LaFuchsia of RadioSpeedTalk.com is joining us, as well as Mr. $2 Bill Josh. So, guys, how are we doing? Are we ready for hour number two of the – you guys have the fastest hour on radio. This today is the fastest 2 hours on radio, just so you know. are you with us, Pete?
Yes, I am.
All right. How are we doing, sir?
I'm doing great.
Are you ready for a great – race weekend?
Oh, you know it, man. It's always a great time when there's racing in the state of Indiana, which is pretty much all the time.
makes you remember the days of the Labonte days when Tony the Tiger was his sponsor. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah, back around like 98, 99, around at that time.
Back in the days with Wonder Bread and all that stuff. Mr. Yep. $2 Bill Josh, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you today, Tom?
Hey, man, you know what? It is great. We're having a great time. You're joining Mr. Pete LaFuchsia of Radio Speed Talk. Guys, we're going to just jump right into this conversation. We talked a little bit about A.J. Allmendinger. Vicky Barr came on and really helped us talk about that. What I want to do, guys, especially with you, Pete, I want to talk with you about this Nationwide race going on today, but I also want to spend a lot of time in this next hour talking about the big boy race. Tomorrow. It is huge. It is the Curtis Shaver, Crown Royal Curtis Shaver 400. Great, great race among race drivers. It has maybe, experts would say, we talked about this earlier, maybe the shift in popularity and from a fan standpoint maybe has gone down, but certainly one of the favorites among drivers. So, guys, let's just dive right into this conversation, just kind of make it a roundtable conversation. And we'll start with you, Pete, and I wanted to get your opinion on this as well, obviously, because we all have fond memories of Nationwide out there at Lucas Oil Raceway, formerly ORP. As Laura said, she can't get the ERP out of her vocabulary. So, from a personal standpoint, Pete, and then from a professional standpoint, what are your thoughts about Nationwide and the inaugural season at IMS?
Well, I think it's a great idea to bring them there. I mean, it's sad that there has to be a punishment, and you can look at it like it is a punishment of them taking the race away from Lucas Oil. I wish they would have spoke to him beforehand and maybe gave him a race some other time during the year, because it's got a historical value to the track. But interviews we had with, I think it was Mike Wallace last year, said they weren't updating facilities at the track, and that's probably in his opinion, that's what led NASCAR to take the truck and the Nationwide race away from there. And maybe that's what they needed, a kick in the butt to get some stuff fixed and upgraded there. But again, we're not in NASCAR. We don't know what was going through their head. And then also, if Indianapolis Motor Speedway comes calling and says, hey, you know what, let's move these races over here, are you going to say, no, we're going to leave them over here on the other side of town? I don't think that's going to happen. They're going to go to the crown jewel of racing tracks and bringing it there. It makes it good having all three races there over the weekend. So you got people who are coming further. You know what, let's say they get camping. It gives them something to do on Friday and Saturday, not just watching qualifying on Saturday and then the race on Sunday. So I think it's IMS finally saying we've got to give these people more bang for their buck, but it's sad that it had to come at the cost of Lucas Oil.
All right, Josh, what are your thoughts?
Well, I thought the two races out of Lucas Oil Raceway were spectacular races. I'm not too impressed, kind of like Pete said, with the grounds and the facilities at Lucas Oil Raceway Park. I mean, they don't even have full-time garages out of Lucas. But on a sadder note, it is kind of sad that the races aren't out at Lucas, but I think they're going to be fascinating shows out on the big track.
Well, and I think, you know, and we talked about this just a little bit earlier, guys, but honestly, I think we have an opportunity here. One, we're going to be witnessing history. Obviously, I'll be out there at the race. Pete, are you coming in town today or tomorrow? Or
Probably tomorrow. We've got to see what schedule holds. So
you won't be there for today's race, but I'll be there for today's race. And I think, one, just the fact that it's the inaugural race, it's huge. I mean, it is like, in my opinion, a lot of firsts. And you've got the first night game at Wrigley Field, for example, you know, and the first inaugural Nationwide Series at IMS. Pardon me?
Do you remember what day that was?
I'm not a Cubs fan at all. I hate the Cubs with a passion. I'm a diehard Cubs.
You need to remember, it was 8-8 of 88.
8-8 of 88. There you go.
Yep.
I did not make that. I did not make that. I was in college. I graduated in 1987. I'm dating myself a little bit here.
Wow.
But, you know, hey, you know, one day you go to bed, the next day you can't get up out of bed. So that's,
yeah.
Well, hey guys, let's talk about this race out at Lucas Oil this weekend. Obviously, we know that the Nationwide race isn't there, and I think that it's going to be a great race. I think a lot of at IMS. What I was going to say is, I think that we have an opportunity for them to really, you know, full pedal to the metal. You know, three car wide. You know, we have some potential for some huge racing today, and I think we'll see some cautions as a result of that. But these guys are going to be doing real big boy racing at IMS. Thoughts?
Well, I agree with it 100%. It's just a little sad that Chevy doesn't have their Camaro out there, because, man, let's be honest, these cars. As much as I love Sprint Cup, man, I love looking at the cars in Nationwide and how they look like their counterparts that are on the street. If I look at the Dodge Challenger, I can go to a dealership and buy the Dodge Challenger that it looks like there. And it's not a four-door that they threw two doors on just for racing. No, this is the actual car you can buy if it's a Mustang. And now I'm glad that Camaro is finally going to get into it. And it makes it look like something that you could see. It looks like what you would see on the street if these guys were racing, and I think that's a great thing. The cars don't have the horsepower of the Cup, but they still Hart just weighs as much as horsepower does on there. So I think you're going to see really good fender-banging action there, and you're going to see some guys who are literally trying to do something that nobody else can really do, and that would be win both races there, and it wouldn't be with outside of reach. I mean, we've seen Kyle Busch win three races in the same weekend at a Bristol. Why wouldn't he try to win both of them there at IMS?
Well, absolutely. Well, and I tell you what, it's going to be a fun weekend of racing, and I think we're going to try to make both races. We're going to head out there to IMS, and then we're going to head down to Lucas. We'll be at both, and that is a plateful, but a fan could really do that. Obviously, it is an historical moment in the sport itself. You know, for the first time in three decades, there'll not be a Nationwide race at Lucas Oil Raceway. The Indy 250 Indianapolis Motor Speedway has been replaced by the Kroger 200, blah, blah, blah. All that marketing stuff aside, that still doesn't mean that there won't be racing this weekend at one of the most popular short tracks, which you and I both like, Pete, a lot. And I know, Josh, you've been there with me as well. Fun track to go out. We've had Scott on the show here, a good friend of the show. And Lucas Oil is a friend of the show as well. So, you've got the ARCA races that are out there. Obviously, USAC, Silver Crown Series will all be out there. The main event as well with the USAC Silver Crown 100. I think that was yesterday that was out there. You know, it's so there's a lot that's going on, and obviously, you know, ARCA was out there last night. I haven't really seen all that went on out there last night, but obviously, still a great weekend to be out at Lucas Oil if you choose not to go to IMS. And really, and in my opinion, guys, one's not better than the other. If you like to hang out with fans and you like to party with fans and you like to get up close with the drivers and that's your thing and you like the crowd and you like to be able to see everything and you're like that race fan that just likes to see all the action, Lucas Oil is the place for you. If you're the kind of the fan that likes the party, hang out with friends, you know, watch the cars go by every 5 seconds or so, whatever, every 30 seconds or whatever it is, take some time to get back around the track, IMS is the fan for you, but track for you. But either which way, if you're a race fan, you need to be in Indianapolis this weekend. Correct, Pete? And then we'll go with you, Josh. Go ahead, Pete.
Oh, I said, yeah, I was agreeing with you.
Okay. Josh, what are your thoughts?
Speaking of needing to be out at the track, Tom, did not offer for them why it's so good, but I absolutely agree with you.
Not often anybody agrees with me, but, hey, you know, it does happen. So, Pete, what I want to do real quickly here is give you the lead here, give you the reins, because I know that that Lucas Oil, formerly ORP, is one of your favorite tracks. You know that well, and you know what's going on there this weekend. Talk to us, about what's going on there this weekend. What are your thoughts as someone that covers racing quite often, and obviously you love to cover racing out there at Lucas Oil. Talk to us about your thoughts from the professional aspects, from covering racing and having your own racing show. Talk to us about Lucas Oil.
Well, again, a great short track in the shadow of one of the, like I said, the crown jewel of all racetracks, the IMS. It's great. I mean, if there's anything good to come out of the bad of them losing it, it was the fact that ARCA is actually coming back there. And we had the race last night, and I heard Cliff talk a little bit about Kimmel winning 75th last night there. That is huge, huge milestone in ARCA history, and they've got a great history. It's either 40 or 60 years they've been racing, and it's great for them to be back there and this driver to win such a nice race for having gone back there. So it helps in that way. Again, come out of the ash comes something good, and this is what's coming good. They've got that. It's people getting to see stock car racing at its best, and then they also have the USAC, which I haven't checked, but did it get rained out last night, the USAC part?
No, out at Lucas?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Because
I perused through all my stuff. I thought I saw that they're going to be finishing it today or just doing
it might be right.
Because of a rain.
But
the ARCA got completed, but the USAC part didn't. And forgive me for not being prepared on that part, but, I mean, that's another one right there. USAC and ARCA back-to-back same night. What a great ticket for people to buy. I mean, we saw some great sprint car driving back the night before the 500. I mean, that finish right there, of all the races that happened over Memorial Day weekend, that was the one that Dave Despain showed at the opening of his show, Wind Tunnel, was the finish of that race right there. So it shows you that it doesn't have to be the big ones, which is Indy 500 or whatever. You can have a short track like that, not a top tier, and you're still going to get great racing for your dollar.
We're standing by also as we try to get Philip B. Wilson on the line from the Indianapolis Star. We're going to talk in more detail about what's going on with tomorrow's racing, the big boy race, and so forth. But Josh, go ahead. What are your thoughts?
I think it's going to be an absolute fabulous weekend. I saw the ARCA race, and it looked pretty good last. I saw it on tape delay. I wasn't sure USAC was out there. I knew the CRA series was out at Lucas Oil Raceway. But the race that I really wanted to see, and I believe it's today, Tom, I really want to see the sports car. I know there's a name for the series. I can't quite think of the name for the series. I really want to see how that goes on the road course out of IMS this weekend.
Also, I just wanted to make sure that we made recognition that we have Phil on the line with us. Phil Wilson, are you with us?
Yes.
Phil Wilson of the Indianapolis Star, another local celebrity and icon here in Indianapolis and Indianapolis racing. We were just joined by the diva of the IMS there, Miss Laura Steele. And, you know, she's just a fun guest to have on, you know, anyway. And, Josh, we'll get back to your conversation here in a minute. But, you know, when you got guys like Philip B. Wilson, who's just, you know, world known and world acclaimed on his knowledge of racing and Indianapolis Colts, you got to grab him while you can grab him. So welcome back to the Bellout, Phil.
Well, thank you. That makes me sound more important than I think I am, but I'll take it.
joining us also is Pete LaFuchsia of Radio Speed Talk. Obviously has his own national radio speed show that is on affiliates all across the United States, who joins us every Saturday morning to talk racing, him and his crew. He's with us the full 2 hours today in $2 Bill Josh as well. So what we're talking about, is the inaugural Nationwide Series. Obviously it's a mouthful, but it's the Crown Royal Curtis Shaver 400. So what I want to talk with you about, Phil, is just give us a breakdown from the inaugural, from the Grand Am race last night to the inaugural Nationwide race to the race tomorrow, and just, you know, give us your expert thoughts. Obviously, we've read your columns and stuff, but just go ahead and talk to us about what is going on out there at the race, and from the beat writer out there at Indianapolis Motor Speedway for the Indianapolis Star for many years, you certainly know the history of the Brickyard, and it's a very favorite for the drivers, but we're seeing a decline on the NASCAR side for fans at IMS. So you know. I'll just give you the reins, Phil, and go with it and inform us of only you can do, sir.
Thank you. Well, I mean, it's an interesting weekend. You know, they bill it as Super Weekend with four races in 3 days on one track. And, you know, they had Nationwide practice two sessions on Thursday. Then the IMS crew goes to, you know, setting up the road course, and it takes about 7 hours to convert it. And they set it up for two Grand Am races yesterday. And someone had joked with me on Thursday they thought the best racing of the weekend would be Thursday. And I thought it was exciting. It really was. There were a lot of passing. There was a lot of bumping. Yeah, the cars go slower, these Grand Am cars, sports cars. But, you know, Juan Montoya was bound and determined to try and win his race, the later Rolex race, and he was bumping into people and causing a stir, and it was aggressive and it was intense, and you had some other familiar names. Sebastian Bourdais was on the winning team, and Sebastian is obviously a very accomplished race car driver. He hasn't done it at the 500, but he's won Champ Car titles, and he's known everywhere else as, you know, the Frenchman who can drive, and he ended up winning and besting a team led by Scott Pruitt, who's driven just about everything known to man. And then he had a super team with Ganassi and Juan Pablo Montoya. Scott Dixon started off on that leg. Jamie McMurray, the Brickyard 2010 champion, was in the fold too, but they decided not to use him when it rained. So it was kind of a super team. So you had some names there, Paul Tracy. Elio Salazar was in a GT car. You had a few people in the field here that you recognize, so it's kind of cool to see them drive something different, drive the opposite way. You know, they're coming down through one in the reverse direction, you know, on the road course. That was kind of weird. I thought it was kind of exciting. Disappointing. I think the crowd, 15,000 was our estimate, and I'm sure they hope for more, but there were two rainstorms, and it is something new, and maybe it'll take a while to take hold, but they got to do something to buck the tide and the trend in attendance. I'm sure today's event, the Nationwide Series race, I'm sure they're hoping that what they call it, the Indy 250 or whatever, I'm sure they're hoping that'll put some more people in here. They used to be out at Claremont at Lucas Oil Raceway, and now it's here at Speedway, and of course, Danica Patrick is the major draw, even though there are a lot of Cup drivers, the Busch brothers, and Denny Hamlin, and some others in the field too. But we'll see how it goes down. I mean, I see dark clouds to the west, so I hope that clears up by 450 or 445 when they start racing nationwide.
Absolutely. We're joined by Phil B. Wilson of the Indianapolis Star, also Pete LaFuscia and $2 Bill Josh. All right, so Pete, I'll turn it over to you. Any questions that you have for Phil about any of the races this weekend?
Well, Phil, I was reading online when I started hearing the buzz about possibly Danica driving in the 500 last year. And when you look online, I think it's your paper, the Indianapolis Star, is the one who first broke it. Is there anything more that hasn't came out since her press conference on Thursday about possibly having that, or was that her just doing some rumblings to create some buzz for herself this weekend?
Was the report was that she might drive the 500 next year?
Yeah.
Well, I haven't heard anything new. I think she probably threw it out there because I think she probably wants to drive it. But, you know, she also has to think about the fact that her boss, Tony Stewart, has ideas or plans to put her in a cup car next year. Sponsorship is there. And she might find that what she wants to do and what she has to do is two different things. I mean, she hasn't acquitted herself yet nationwide. She might be making a jump to Sprint Cup. And of all the people, pull off a double, if it was conducive time-wise, I wouldn't put her in that category. But, hey, you know, she's kind of taken what she's done and run with it, and she's still a very polarizing figure here, no matter what she does. So, you know, if she wants to do it, hats off to her. Go Daddy, you know, whatever sponsor. I mean, hey, knock yourself out. But I've not heard anything today yet about anything concrete.
So who's more popular at the track, Laura Steele or Danica Patrick?
I'm one of Laura's guys. I'm one of her boys. So Laura's always loved on me since day one, and she's always been a sweetie and very supportive. And so Laura, I would take Laura every day of the week and twice on race day.
I'm right there with you. She's a good friend. I saw her out at Champs the other night at the Grand Am promotion, and she's just so much fun to hang out with. And she's just a real down to earth person.
Let's put it this way. Hugs. Laura Steele, 1,000.
She does like
Danica, Danica, 0.
That's right.
So I'm going to go on the hug meter.
Yeah, on the hug meter, Laura Steele will give you plenty of them. I would not reach out and try to get a hug from Danica. You certainly will get on national television, but not for the hug. That's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, $2 Bill Josh, you got any questions for Phil Wilson from the Indianapolis Star?
Well, as far as Danica's wanting to compete in next year's 500, I see a couple potential roadblocks for it. It makes it almost a non-story. One is she drives for GoDaddy.com. They already have a GoDaddy car. And I cannot remember for sure. I'm pretty sure Andretti's a Chevrolet, but if you're Michael Andretti, are you going to pull a Hinchcliffe out of the GoDaddy car just to fulfill a sponsorship obligation with Danica? And if not, though, then what Chevy car is going to be open up for? But, Phil, do you give her any chance to be competitive at Nationwide? And I believe she's also in the 400, isn't she?
You make a great point. I didn't even think about car manufacturing. That's a big deal. And James Hinchcliffe's done great in the GoDaddy car this year. So I don't think if that commitment was renewed next year, that they would make him take a back seat for one race. I just don't see that happening. I guess the other thought would be, would you double your money and spend more to have GoDaddy in two cars? But I don't see that happening. I mean, I guess it's possible, but I just. You bring up two excellent points. I'm very skeptical. I think it's more wishful thinking. And I think as this plays out, to answer your second part of your question, I've never been sold on her as an accomplished race car driver. Good, but not great. And I don't think she's proven anything yet. And I don't think she was proven as much as she needed to in IndyCar. So many have tried to do this. Most have failed. We have a three-time 500 champion, Indy 500 champion, Dario Franchitti, who couldn't get through a season down there. And Sam Hornes Jr. is, you know, he's just languishing. I'd love to have Sam come back. You know, Tony Stewart's done it, but very few have succeeded. So not to be a pessimist, not to be anti Danica Tour fans, I'd be very skeptical of how successful she can be in this. Maybe she can be, but I'd love to see her come back. I think IndyCar needs it. IndyCar needs everything it can get. And so maybe I'm more biased towards 500 IndyCar racing and everything. But I think eventually, if she doesn't prove it, if she doesn't put up the results, I think it's the path is going to be coming back here in IndyCar eventually. That's just a guess, but that's what I would foresee.
Well, obviously, I don't see them at all pulling James Hinchcliffe, and I love James Hinchcliffe. He's a good personal friend, very personal, and I've known him, and I've had the unique privilege of following James Hinchcliffe back when he was just a young driver in the Indy Lights series, and when no media would talk to him, and for that matter, when no driver would talk to me, so it was a good match. So how we've all grown up, but so I hung on the Indy Lights series guys because at least they talked to me. But it is him and Pippa Mann both are just unique people that I've had the opportunity to follow, and James Hinchcliffe is just doing a fantastic job, and our hats off to him. So I certainly don't see GoDaddy or anybody associated with that pulling Hinchcliffe out to put Danica in there. So moving on about the course of business, obviously the big race, the big boys in town tomorrow. Matt Kenseth, another good driver. I like him, and certainly he's currently the leader in the points, I believe around 707, 710. Dale Earnhardt Jr., I tell you what, when was the last time we had a conversation about Dale Earnhardt Jr. and his chase for the points? You look at Denny Hamlin, you look at Jimmy Johnson, obviously Tony Stewart, Smoke. Those are all guys that are all right there in the chase and are serious contenders for the big race on Sunday. And how special would that be? And we talked about this earlier on in the show, but how special would that be for Dale Jr. To win out at IMS, to be the first father-son combo out there to win, guys? So we'll start with you, Phil, on that, on the thoughts of those drivers that we talked about. Usual suspects, or let's break down the keys to the race on Sunday.
Yeah, I think usual suspects. Dale's been snake bit here a little bit. He's had some misfortune, and yet he's had such a great year this year that you don't count him out. I mean, Kenseth has been running strong. I think lately, you got to look at Smoke. I mean, Tony Stewart, he puts this way up there on the list of priority. It might be his number one priority of the year, and he drives like it, and he prepares the car like it. Believe me, he wants more than anything, and in his mind, in the back of his mind, he's got two more to Jeff Gordon, and he'd probably love to be the first five-time winner here someday. So Tony Stewart's the guy I always think about first and foremost. I don't rule out Jeff Gordon, guys. I mean, he's run well lately. I think they've got some of their issues worked out. But the time is of the essence for him, because he needs a win, maybe two, to make this chase, and he knows it. He's down there 17th in points. But we all know Jeff has been great here. In addition to the four first, he was second here last year. The race would have gone another 5-10 laps. He probably would have run down Paul Menard. So I don't rule him out. I don't know. I'm kind of curious about Casey Kane. I know he's run well lately. Casey's been fast here before and then flamed out. I think I picked him as one of my three favorites in past years, and he flamed out on me, so I look like an idiot. I always love guys when they make me look like an idiot. That seems to happen a lot. If you ask them, they'd say, no, you made yourself look like an idiot. But Casey's one I'm curious about. I mean, it just, Ryan Newman loves this race more than anybody, too. I talked to him, and Ryan's been snake bit, too. Only one top five ever and 11 starts here. And Ryan knows this track better than anybody. He knows you've got to be careful and smart, stay in the draft or stay in line. And the trick is, a lot of times, is just to not get caught out and get out of groove and off the throttle. And this is a very flat but fast track, and you got to use your teammates when you can, and you got to be in position and keep yourself in position, for a good long time to contend at the end. And it's not easy. It definitely isn't easy.
Pete, go ahead.
I have to agree with him on the usual suspects. Back to you were saying it's going to be them. We saw Paul Menard win last year. That was great, but that was also part of the anomaly that was the 2011 season with so many first-time winners and people who hadn't won in a while. It basically shook up the established teams and said, hey, we need to do a little better, and thus they're doing that this year. We're going to see all – you're going to see Hendricks up there at the front. You're going to see Roush up at the front. I wouldn't leave out RCR and trying to think who else. And you might get Ganassi Earnhardt in there. It'd be nice to see Juan Pablo do it, but 2 years ago I think might have been his closest chance of winning that one. If I had to pick one of the established, I'm going to go with a Tony Stewart because, again, like you, your guest said, he's going to be want to try to win five times there. And I think, yeah, that might be a goal of his. I mean, especially for the guys that grew up there, near there. And contrary to what NASCAR says, Gordon is an Indiana driver. I mean, having spent so much time living that close to Indianapolis, that's why I think he probably has a really good chance of winning a fifth one. And he is doing really well. Talk is he's one up there. Another one to watch out for, and I think it's because he's had so many close races recently, Denny Hamlin. Just looking at how he's finished or how he was doing there at the end of the race before strings of bad luck, he might be somebody that might be kissing bricks, and I would put him down as a dark horse to do that. And then you obviously can't leave out anybody from Joe Gibbs. Joey Logano, I might put him out of the just out of reach of that, but yeah, Kyle or Denny would really really have a good chance of winning this one.
Hey, Josh, what are your thoughts, buddy?
I want to give you who I'd want to, and the dark horse for tomorrow. I think it's going to be Kyle Busch winning the 400. Jimmy Johnson could win the 400, but as we've all noticed, I've been there for every 400. Jimmy Johnson's either going to win at Indianapolis or he's going to burn his car up. But as far as the dark horse goes, Kurt Busch has looked strong all year long, and eventually you got to think Kurt Busch is going to put that Phoenix Racing car in victory lane.
Well, I like Kyle Busch a lot, and I like Denny Hamlin a lot. As far as the dark horse guys, I like Elliott Sadler. I mean, how cool would that be? Obviously, he's trying to rebuild his career, but a win out here in Indianapolis this year would go a long ways to rebuilding the faith of Elliott Sadler. Guys, we were talking about him earlier on the show. He's certainly one of my favorites. So if we're looking at dark horses, I like Elliott Sadler for this week. And what are your thoughts about how well Denny's doing, Phil, and do you think Elliott Sadler is really a dark horse or just a horse that's running well?
Well, I mean, I don't ever rule out anybody that's been around a while. I'm sitting here staring at the screen right now trying to see what these guys are doing because they're out on the track now. The practice has begun for the Cup cars. And, looking at the usual suspects, Carl Edwards is a fifth already, a fifth fast lap and three laps on the track. He's a guy that has had trouble here before. I know he's a neat guy, too. He's right there with Gordon. He needs to go and make a move, and he's 11th, I think, but he doesn't have any wins. No, I don't rule out Elliott. And Denny Hamlin's a great pick. Hamlin certainly knows enough and has the skill to do it. So I think everything you guys just said is spot on. I mean, sounds to me like you've got a panel of guys who know this a hell of a lot better than I do, to be honest with you.
Well, and I, you know why I've got you on the line here, Phil and Pete, and I know you guys weren't, and nor Josh for that matter, you guys weren't part of our first hour, the very first segment. We had Vicky Barr on the line, who's a pharmacist, who was really helping us break down and understand what's going on with A.J. Allmendinger. Obviously, his people are talking, you know, we were out at the Grand Am promotion out at Champs the other night, and I was talking to various different PR people, because that's what us media people do. And, you know, there was the rumor there, and certainly I'm not not saying that this came from his camp, but there was a rumor there that it was actually Viagra. And, in fact, I kind of just tweeted, I said, rumor has it, guys. What are your thoughts? That was all it was just a rumor, but I just wanted to see what people were saying because, obviously, there was no official release of that. And, of course, I know that the next day, I know, Pete, you sent me a text that said what it was, and I can't pronounce it, but basically it's an amphetamine. That is, it's speed. Let's just call it that. It's speed. And, you know, officially from the camp of A.J. Allmendinger, is it was an over-the-counter drug. You look at sample B tested. So we had Vicky Barr on, who really helped us from the technical aspects and from the medical aspects understand, you know, that. And really, I think that even she believes from what we just give her, from what we know from the evidence, that there's no way this could be anything over-the-counter. And I certainly wouldn't want to call out his sponsor, but I did, Fuel in a Bottle or whatever. It's just like the 5-Hour Energy. That apparently that's what he was using. They didn't say that in their release, but we know that's what it was. So we had the conversation. Hey, you know, is this 5-Hour Energy over the counter stuff really a substance that we're dealing with here? And I'm thinking no. I think the thing is that for whatever reason he was on speed and not the right kind of speed that you want on the track. So I think NASCAR made the right sanctions. They acted swiftly, and I do believe honestly that they also took their time in making sure they had the right evidence on that. So guys, I want to get your thoughts. We'll start with you, Phil, and then we'll go to you, Pete, and then you, Josh. What are your thoughts on A.J. Allmendinger and over the counter, not over the counters? You know, what are your thoughts?
Well, you mentioned Viagra, and I'm thinking, Jesus, you guys already been through a lot, and now we're going to throw that one on the fire. That makes it look even a different way. I'm married to a pharmacist, so I know how easy anything's in your system if you're not sure what's in it. I cover the Colts, and I do so much of the NFL, and I've heard that too often. I guess I'm probably jaded on someone telling me, well, it was an honest mistake. It was something that I took, didn't know. Well, the rule of thumb in the NFL is you're responsible for your body first and foremost. You are the CEO of your company, and you're responsible for anything that goes in it. And if you unknowingly take something, guess what? You still screwed up. So even if it was an honest mistake in his part, you have to be responsible for what goes in there. And that's just giving him the benefit of the doubt on it, to be honest. So maybe that's a little hard line. Maybe that's harsh. I'm not trying to knock the guy. I know it was an embarrassment for Penske. This doesn't sit well with him, I'm sure. And, I hope he can come back. Yes, I hope, you know, end him. I know there was a driver a while back. I'm trying to think of the name now who
Jeremy
tried to
Mayfield.
Fight. Yeah, Jeremy Mayfield. And I thought he had a lot of talent. And he protested his innocence forever, but it turned out no, he was out to lunch, and it was definitely conclusive in the end. And I hate to just even name drop him and lump him in there, but you know, if it never happens again for him, he cleans himself up, he completes the program that's set for him, and comes back, then maybe we'll believe him in the long run that it was an honest mistake. But for now, I stick to the proviso that we use in the NFL. You're responsible for anything that goes in there. So unknowingly or knowingly, you're at fault if you test positive.
Pete?
I have to say that if there's anything that's going to come out of this is the talk, and I've heard this from people that are nutritionists and pharmacists and anybody that works in the medical field. Maybe the FDA needs to start regulating these over-the-counter, and you say 5-Hour Energy, that's like calling it Kleenex. I didn't realize till all this happened how different all these things are. They all look like they're in the same bottle. You're thinking, okay, it's just somebody repackaging it. And I didn't know that different companies put different things in there. And then it's amazing when you go to your convenience store and all that and see all the different varieties of it. The Jersey Shore has their own brand of energy shot. And if you pick it up, you look at what the ingredients there versus what are in the 5-Hour Energies or the Stacker 2, they're vastly different. And when you said it was Fuel in the Bottle, is that the name of his sponsor?
Yeah, that's A.J. Allmendinger's sponsor. Well,
yeah, A.J.
Sure Allmendinger.
I don't know what's in their stuff, but knowing that all this, that who knows, they may have put that in there. But, yes, for what he supposedly tested for, you would need to take an awful lot of that. But it just still, it opened up a question that, or a conversation that people didn't know was going on. And it's about all these supplements, the stuff that you could take to stay awake, give you energy and all that. But then it also opens up, hey, what is he taking? I agree with what Phil said about your body is your temple. You take care of it. You're the CEO of that corporation. You know what goes in and out. The buck stops there. He needed to basically hone up to it. I see where he came from with all the lawyers, not releasing what it was, because let's be honest, in today's society, if he just started going on the defense right away when he got out, you don't know what would have been used him against him in the court of public opinion, and that's what tends to matter now. Now, on his path to recovery and all that, I hate to say this, and we covered this in Speed Talk this week when we did the show. Basically, he's done in Spring Cup. He will be able to come back, but he's not going to get a top-tier drive. I can't see that Roush would risk anything on him. It's not like he's a driver that had 6 to 10 wins or a Brickyard win or a 500 win. He's a guy that people liked a lot. He was really good on the track, knew how to work, worked well with his crew chiefs, just didn't have the wins. I don't see anybody else wasting a ride on him when they're like, oh, wait, he's been in the sport now 5-6 years. We've got a kid coming up. We need to spend our efforts on him. So if he goes through this whole thing, gets done, cleaned up by December, I don't see that Penske's going to say, okay, go ahead and take this ride. He may have to take a step back, go to a Nationwide, prove himself, or I think he's part owner in an open-wheel team, maybe go drive for that open-wheel team or find a different discipline of racing that he's good at, and that may be a way to prove himself. Not that he's a bad guy, not that we hate him, but, okay, I'm all for second chances for anybody. I believe me. Guy, we've interviewed him numerous times. He's a great guy. I've never heard anything bad about him. That's why when all this went down, it was so astounding. It's like, no, this can't be right. Not him. It's almost like that scene from 8 Men Out. Say it ain't so. Say it ain't so, AJ. It just didn't really happen, did it? So, yeah, his career in Cup is virtually over. I don't even see a team like Penske or the second-tier teams picking him up. He might be able to get with a front-row motorsports or one of the start parks, or maybe if Phoenix was to field a second car, but it's done for him.
We lost our connection. Hello.
Are you there? I'm here. Are you guys there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. I apologize. I don't know what. I know what happens. In radio, you're supposed to turn on your mic. Oops.
Oh, all right. There you go.
You know, it happens. And Josh, you've been around my show for a while. It's bound to happen once in a while. The odds are not if it'll happen, but when it'll happen. I always forget to turn on my mic because, you know, I'm always typing. I'm doing things. You know, I'm multitasking. You know, so. You know, it's just a little button. You just got to tap the little button. It's all good. But yeah, you know what I said when the mic was off that you guys didn't hear me. Allmendinger's loss, Sam Hornish's junior's gain, and obviously, you know, carrying the double the workload. I don't know if it's going to hurt him or help him, but I like Sam Hornish. You know, go for it, Sam. Capitalize on Allmendinger's mistake. Josh, $2 bill, Josh, real quickly on AJ Allmendinger before we move on to the Matt Kenseth conspiracy theories that I've got going on. Go ahead, Josh.
Well, I'm sick and tired of hearing athletes say it's an honest mistake. It's an honest mistake. It's blame it on the nutrition, blame it on the protein bar. AJ, you screwed up. Whether it's a mistake or not, step up to the microphone and say you screwed up. The only bright side, and Pete brought this up, Pete, you seem like a guy who followed Champ Car, whatever it was called when Allmendinger was in it. He was dominant his final year in Champ Car. Maybe this is what he needs to get sent back to open wheel because he was flat out dominant in his final season in Champ Car. Do you think if he went to IndyCar, Pete, he'd be that dominant again?
Oh, I don't doubt it. If he got with a decent team, definitely. He could go back to, I mean, look at what happened when he jumped into that 24 Hours of Daytona car. He helped lead that team to a win right there. That just shows that, you know, the guy knows how to do the road courses and all that, and I can't see that he wouldn't. It's kind of like a fish in, throwing a fish back into open water. He's going to swim and learn to swim well.
Well, let's move on down the road here. We've only got just a limited amount of time left here. Obviously, this is our big NASCAR weekend here, the Curtis Shaver, Crown Royal Curtis Shaver 400. My hat's off to Crown Royal. It's a mouthful, but you know what? It's good stuff, and I like Crown, so, you know, it's a good match. You know, responsibly, drink responsibly, but Crown's, if you're going to do it, you know, Crown's a good one to have. I want to talk about Matt Kenseth, if we can, for a moment. Obviously, he's the target of the we'll call it the Brett Favre theory or the Peyton Manning theory. Where will he end up at? And is he going to part ways with Roush Fenway Racing after the season? I mean, where will this 2003 Series champion end up? I'm going to just say Joe Gibbs Racing, and we'll start with you, Phil. What are your thoughts on Matt Kenseth, and where will he be at?
No, that's a good question. I was in Kentucky just for a day just after the bomb dropped, and I even heard Jack Roush in a press conference sound like he was genuinely surprised by it. And Jack suggested at the time that if he would have paid more attention to the contracts and things and the nitty-gritty details of agreements, that this wouldn't have happened, that he spent too much time on other things, which I don't know if that was an admission of guilt or just an explanation of how he could let the points leader get away. I'm really kind of curious, like everybody else, to see what happens. I've heard Joe Gibbs from the minute go. I asked the guy who covers NASCAR Cup Racing all the time. I won't drop his name because that'd be unfair, and I don't think he said it to me to publicize him. But I said, where do you think? And he said, Joe Gibbs. And he said, it hasn't been signed, sealed, and delivered officially, but I think it's a done deal. So I trust and respect this guy more than most. And if he's right, you know, Joe Gibbs Racing will get themselves a hell of a race car driver.
All right, Pete, go ahead.
Believe me, Joe Gibbs, if I was a Vegas odds maker, I'd say, yeah, odds on. If I had to look at a crystal ball and see what's going to go on at Joe Gibbs, I see Logano going back to Nationwide full-time and then maybe fielding a fourth car here and there and then maybe bringing a past champion into Joe Gibbs and let him drive the number 20 might help Kyle Busch get into that championship mindset. We all know he can drive. Now, can he consistently sustain that for a full season to win a championship? And I think maybe with Coach Gibbs being knowing the effects of teamwork, having coached in football and all that, that's what you kind of need, because I think that's what's going to need to happen, is somebody's going to have to come into that stable to help mold Kyle into a champion. Not that this is all about Kyle, I'm just saying that would be my odds on best. One, they're going to get a past champion, a great driver, and maybe a possible multiple-time champion. Because what a slap in the face would that be to Joe Gibbs or to Roush if Kenseth wins this championship and the next year he goes somewhere else. So, that would be the multiple aspect on that. I think that would be there. If I had to pick a second team that he might go to, I think it might be RCR fielding a fourth car to get that car ready for Austin Dillon. Because remember, RCR had four cars for a while, backed it out. Maybe they'll bring it back so that car, that team is there, it's up, it's running, sign a quick two-year contract, get it going, and then we'll bring Austin in. If not there, one of the other three teams, if Menard moves on or if somebody else moves on. So I think that might be the second chance happening there.
All right, Josh, real quickly, and we'll move on down the road here on the business at hand. But, Josh, what are your thoughts, Matt Kenseth?
I can see Matt Kenseth going to Joe Gibbs Racing, and the only part I would disagree is
why would RCR want to wait 2 years to bring Austin Dillon up for what? They just want to prove he can continue to dominate nationwide. He's got nothing left to prove it nationwide. In fact, I'm shocked he's not in the Sprint Cup car now, and I fully expect he will be. And I'm going to predict he'll be in the number three Sprint Cup car at next year's Daytona 500.
All right, guys, I want to real quickly before we get into our official picks of the weekend, you know, I want to take my hats off to Reagan Smith. Obviously, he drives the number 78 Furniture Row car, Chevrolet car. They're going to pay a tribute to the Colorado shooting victims out in Aurora. And it's really going to be neat. I guess the paint scheme on Smith's car for Sunday's race at the Brickyard will include the hood of the car, will showcase a ribbon, and inside the ribbon will be the Memorial Cross and, of course, the Colorado State flag. And on the rear quarter panel will read Aurora, Colorado, and the names of the 12 people that were killed in the tragedy. And on the rear bumper, which is the TV panel, by the way, will include the following inscriptions: for those lost, injured, and countless acts of bravery, 7/20/2012. And guys, and that brings us into our official picks. You know, even if that isn't a logical pick, I'm picking Reagan Smith as a side pick. I hope he does well. Yeah. For what he's doing there, and I think that's a fantastic thing. So we'll just merge right into our picks with that. Go ahead and give any comments that you have on the number 78 car, Reagan Smith, or the Aurora, Colorado shooting. Phil, certainly we want to hear your pick, and then we'll go with you, Pete, and then you, Josh. Go ahead, Phil.
Well, I'm going to be boring, guys, but the two times I've nailed this race have been correct. I picked Tony Stewart to win, and it seems like every time I pick Tony Stewart to do well, I don't look bad, so I'm going to stick with what works. Go with Smoke.
All right, Pete.
I have to agree with him. I picked for our prediction segment on Speed Talk this week, I picked Tony Stewart because I just think it's going to come back to another Indiana boy, and then he wants to win this as part of his team. Back to the Reagan Smith thing, how great would that be if he does win this race and that puts him on the national stage? I mean, when I have the argument with people, they say, well, is the Brickyard really that big of a race? Because people talk about Talladega or Bristol. And I go, yeah, Talladega, Bristol, you win that race. They don't ship you off and you're on Good Morning America the next day and then Regis with Telly an hour later. No, but the Brickyard, you are. The Daytona 500, you are. So this is a premier one. So if he wins that, how cool will that be that his car will be flashed all over TV, whether it be in sports or in regular media? So that would be a great thing for him and for the tragedy that happened in Colorado.
Absolutely. Josh?
Got to go ahead and make it 3-for-3 on picking Tony Stewart, although Reagan Smith would be a great story, and as we saw last year with Paul Menard, great stories can happen in Indianapolis.
As we know, great stories can happen in Indianapolis, and they do many, many, many times, especially out at IMS. I got a lot of guys that I like. I've been tossing around my pick. Jeff Gordon, that's an obvious one. Jimmy Johnson, Smoke, those are obvious ones. My dark horse, Elliott Sadler, that I was talking about. And I've been really, you know, Brad Kolaski and Denny Hamlin. I've really been struggling with my official pick. I like Denny Hamlin a lot. My official pick is Denny Hamlin. He's shown me over the last few weeks that he can race with the big boys, and he has almost had it right there. I also like Dale Jr. That would be a cool win for Dale Jr., but I like Denny Hamlin for my official pick in Sunday's race. Again, Danica, I just think that she's and a lot of people disagree with me. I'm not a big Danica fan per se, but I think that she has a lot of experience on her side out there at that track, both good and bad. She's did well at that track, and she's liked by the fans there. This very well could be an opportunity for her to get a win there. So my pick for the nationwide is Danica. My pick for the race tomorrow, the 400, is Denny Hamlin. So we'll start with you, Phil. We didn't get your nationwide pick.
Oh, you know what? I have no clue. I'll be honest with you. I don't cover it that often. I haven't seen a nationwide race in years. I covered a couple of them back at when it was named IRP. I know the Bush brothers run real well. Carl Edwards does well in nationwide. So I don't know. I'm throwing something at the at the board, and here's a dart. I like Carl Edwards, so I'll just say Carl Edwards for the hell of it. Is he running in it? I hope he is.
All right. Pete, who's your nationwide pick?
We're going to have a little bit of history with my pick of the winner. He's going to be the first guy to win the Indy 500 and a stock car, and it's going to be Sam Hornish Jr.
All right, $2 bill, Josh, real quickly. We're coming up to 60 seconds, so you got about 10 seconds to give your nationwide pick.
I'm going to go with Danica Patrick to make history at Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
All right, two Danicas for nationwide race. Guys, well, Philip B. Wilson, Pete LaFuchsia, we thank you guys for joining us. We'll see all of you guys out at the track. And any final thoughts? Where can people find your work and your masterpieces, Phil?
P. Wilson 24 on Twitter. I post all the links. P. Wilson 24 Facebook, Philip B. Wilson, and the Bounce It Off Phil B. blog. I haven't done much on racing. I'm working on a Colts project right now, actually. So I'll be here today and tomorrow at the Speedway, but there's an Anderson University for Colts training camp Monday on. So Bounce It Off Phil B. at IndyStar.com.
All right. Pete LaFuchsia, we know we can't find you on Twitter, but where else can people find you at?
They can find me at RadioSpeedTalk.com, Pete at RadioSpeedTalk.com.
All right, guys, that's going to have to do it. Have a great race weekend. Remember, don't take your anything to do with fire, to include your fireworks and grenade launchers, out to the track. They're not going to let you do that. But if you got a gas grill, you can still cook out there on turn three, guys. Have a great weekend. Don't drink and drive. It isn't cool. Remember, if you're going to drink some Crown Royal, Coors Light, or whatever it is, do it responsibly, guys. We'll see you out at the track.
Now rumor has it she ain't got your love anymore.
Rumor has it. Rumor has it.
Well, when I say when you gotta go, you gotta go.
You have made me very angry. Very angry indeed.
Oh, son of a bleep, son of a bleep, gun. You thought I was going to say son of a didn't you?
That's all, folks.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.